Trust that you've read over 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and will join with us tonight as we study the fourth chapter as we journey through the Bible. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to verse 18, where Paul declares, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." There is the material world that we see. There is the spiritual world that we do not see. The material world is temporal. It is in the process of decay. The material world, temporal, passing away. The spiritual world is eternal. Paul said we don't look at this material, temporal world because we realize that it is only temporal. But we look at the spiritual realm because we realize that's eternal. What are the temporal things that Paul could see, the things of the material world? Back in verse 8, he said, "We have trouble on every side." You ever think that that describes you? Everywhere you look, there seems to be trouble. You know, when you read of Paul's ministry, the things that he went through, you realize that what we've experienced is really nothing at all compared with what Paul experienced. In the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that five times he was beaten by the Jews with 39 stripes. Three times they caned him. Once he was stoned. Three times he was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day floating out in the Mediterranean, probably hanging onto a plank. He was imprisoned many different times. And you think that you have trouble. Trouble, he said, on every side. And then he said, perplexed. Perplexity can be very enervating. The confusion of not knowing what to do. Many people do nothing. When everything that you try to do seems to turn out bad, you become very hesitant about venturing out in any new venture. Paul said, though he was perplexed, he had not despaired. And then he speaks of the persecution. And I think of the tremendous persecution that Paul went through as he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was not only persecuted by the enemies of Christ, but he was even persecuted by the church. The church was very reluctant to receive Paul. They were leery of his commitment. And they never did fully receive him. When he had come back to Jerusalem to bring an offering to the church from the Gentile churches to help them in their financial distress, they began to demand that he make many concessions for the sake of the legalistic Jews, which he was happy to do, as he said he was willing to become all things to all men that he might gain the more to the Jew he would become as a Jew. And so he was going through the purification rites in order that he might attend the holidays there at the temple. And he was arrested. He was placed in prison. His life was threatened, but we don't read of any of the church standing with him, visiting him, or they just sort of left him on his own. And later, when he was facing Nero in Rome, he said, "At my first hearing, no man stood with me, but they all forsook me." But then Paul adds, but the Lord stood by me. So the one that you couldn't see, our Lord Jesus Christ, stood by Paul, though the men that he had labored with, they forsook him at that critical time. Paul talks about his being discouraged. Discouragement is a tool of Satan. And it's discouraging when people that you've trusted let you down. It's discouraging when people that you thought were your friends turn on you. Paul added, I'm discouraged, but I'm not destroyed. And Paul then spoke of the outward man perishing day by day. All of the beatings, all of the things that Paul endured in his trials and preaching the gospel, the perils, he said, of the country, the perils of the city, the perils among his brethren, the perils among the Jews, the perils among the heathen, being stoned, being caned, the shipwrecks and all, these all had a derogatory effect upon Paul's health. He became very weak and very sickly. When he wrote to the Galatians, he spoke about how often he was sick when he was there. And of the eye problems that he was having, he said, I testify that you loved me so much, some of you would have given me your own eyes if it were possible. As he was making reference to this continual eye problem that he had. The old body was falling apart. The outward man, he said, is perishing. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day, new strength. As the Lord said, as your day is, so shall your strength be. And found that God's grace was sufficient and that for each day God gave him that which he needed in order to face the things of that day. Now, then Paul said, for the light affliction. Hello? Light affliction, Paul? Five times beaten with 39 stripes. Three times caned, stoned, and they thought you were dead. The light afflictions, he said, which are but for a moment. The things that we see, Paul said, are temporary. They are going to pass. They don't last. What is life, James said? It's like a vapor that appears for a moment but then vanishes. Job said, my life has passed swifter than a weaver's shuttle. He also said, man comes forth as a flower and then is cut down. David, praying to the Lord, said, Lord, remember how short my time is. Again, he said, man's life is like grass. It grows up in the morning, and in the evening, it is cut down. Amazing how that when you're young, you feel like you're sort of immortal, and you think you're going to live forever. That, oh my, you know, life is just stretched out so far in front of me. But it's also amazing when you get old how short life seems. When you look back, you wonder, where did the years go? And you just are amazed at how fast life passed by. Sort of weird to think that I have lived over 1/100th of the entire recorded history of the world. And yet it seems so short. But Adam, he lived over one-tenth of the recorded history of mankind. But it's awfully hard to believe that I'm the father of a grandfather. Where did the time go? When the Pharaoh asked Jacob, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 130 years old. Few and evil have been my days." I mean, after 130 years, he said, "I've only been here a few, few days." It goes so fast. As you get older, you are amazed at just how fast life went. Paul calls it the light affliction, which is but for a moment. It passes so quickly. Light, when you compare it with the eternal weight of glory that we're going to have. The present sufferings, Paul said, are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the eternal glory that's going to be revealed. Thus, the Bible is constantly encouraging us to look at the eternal rewards of the good life. The life of faith and trust in Jesus, the eternal benefits that come. Jesus said, "What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lost his own soul?" That is, what real profit would there be if you became the richest man in the world and could enjoy those riches for, let's say, 50 years? But in so doing, you sacrificed your eternal soul, and throughout eternity you'd be separated from God. What would it advantage a man? What have you gained in the temporary 50 years compared with the eternity that lies out beyond? Jesus said, "If you are persecuted for my sake, rejoice and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven." The persecution is only temporary. It's not going to last. But the reward in heaven is eternal. Paul said God is going to render to every man according to his deeds. And if you are patient and continue to do good, you will receive glory and honor, immortality, and eternal life. The light afflictions contrasted with the eternal weight of glory. Because of this, Paul said, we don't look at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. God does not promise us heaven on this sin-cursed earth. And those who preach that are preaching heresy. Jesus said to his disciples, "In this world, you will have tribulation." Jesus said, "You are not of the world, and that is why the world will hate you." Paul encouraged the believers that through much tribulation, they would enter into the kingdom of God. Writing to Timothy, he said, "Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Peter wrote, "Beloved, don't consider it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when the glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy." The persecution, the trials, they're only temporary. We don't look at these things because we realize these are only temporary. They're going to pass. Isn't it amazing how many things that we grew up with that we sort of thought were lasting things but have already passed? Carl's Shoe Store. Yes, some of you remember. Gallen Camp's Shoe Store. Newberry's. Five and Dime. The Broadway Department Store for some of you younger ones. Bullocks. Bob's Big Boy. You know, we thought that these were lasting institutions. They'll be along, you know, be around forever. But the things which we see are temporal. They pass. The things that we can't see, the realm of the Spirit, that is the eternal realm. There are two worlds that coexist, side by side, passing through each other, in different dimensions. We live in a three-dimensional world, and it has now been suggested perhaps time is the fourth dimension. But the physicists tell us that there is possibly 10 dimensions. We only know of the three. We can see the three. We don't look at these things which we can see, the three-dimensional world, but we look at that spirit realm, the spirit world, because we realize that's the eternal realm. Now, in past times, God has allowed certain men to see past the veil, and they could see the spirit world. I think of Elisha the prophet, the keen insight he had into the spirit realm, the things that he could see that the normal person didn't see. During the time of Elisha's life, there was constant war between Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. The king of Syria was named Ben-Hadad, and he would have a meeting with his generals, and they would plan an attack on Israel. And every time he would plan an attack on Israel, Elisha the prophet would go to the king, and he would tell the king exactly where they were going to attack, when they were going to attack, how many troops would be involved, so that the king of Israel was able to thwart every attack of Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad finally called together his generals, and he said, "Fellows, we've got a serious security leak." He said, "It's impossible that the king of Israel could know all of our plans unless one of you is a friend of the king of Israel and you're leaking information." The generals answered him, said, "Sir, we all of us are loyal and faithful to you, but there's a prophet over in Israel. And that fellow listens to you when you talk to your wife in bed at night. I mean, he knows everything you're saying." And so Ben-Hadad ordered, "Capture him." So the Syrian troops came to the city of Dothan, where the prophet Elisha was staying. And they encircled the city with their chariots. In the morning, when Elisha's servant went out to chop water, he looked, and here the Syrian army had encircled the city of Dothan. He went in, excited, woke up the prophet Elisha, and he said, "Alas, master, alas, we're surrounded." The prophet didn't get excited or worried. He just sort of rolled over and said, "Lord, would you open up my servant's eyes so he could see what's really happening?" And the servant went out again, and he saw angels of God surrounding the Syrian army. Now, what a difference it makes when you can see the invisible, when you can see the things that are not seen. You see, no longer is it, "Alas, alas, we've had it," but it's, "Alas, alas, they've had it." It's not, "We're surrounded, they're surrounded." And what strength we get when we can see the spiritual realm. We can see the truth of the spiritual realm. we realize greater is he that is with us than they that are with them. That we have that spiritual power, that spiritual help. The Lord is with us, and the Lord will be our strength, and the Lord will be our help. And what courage and strength that gives to us when, as Paul, we don't look at those things which are seen, but we see beyond into the spiritual realm the things that are eternal. It is because of the ability to see by faith the invisible things. As Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. And because by faith we can see the spiritual aspect of life, we can endure the present difficulties, hardships, because we know they're only temporal. They're not going to last. The things that we see are the things that are eternal, the lasting things. The Bible speaks of Moses, that servant of God who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he had recompense unto the rewards. In other words, he looked at the eternal things. And it says he endured as seeing the eternal. The capacity to endure was the ability to see the unseen world, the things that are eternal, the things of the Spirit. To look beyond our own problems, which loom so large, and to see them in the light of God's strength and in the light of God's power. You see, we so often find ourselves in perplexity. We find ourselves distressed and cast down and discouraged because we are looking only at the things which we can see, and we've lost sight of the eternal. That was the condition that the psalmist wrote about in the psalm that we read this morning. He talked about seeing the prosperity of the wicked and how it was so discouraging because it seemed that they had more than their hearts could wish. And here he was trying to live a right kind of a life, and nothing but problems, nothing but trouble, plagued every morning. And he began to draw the conclusion, it really doesn't pay to try to live a good life. Those that cheat, those that steal, seem to get by with it, and they seem to get ahead. And here I am struggling, trying to live an honest life, a godly life, and look at all of the problems I've got, and they don't seem to have any troubles. And he said, when I sought to understand this, it was too difficult, it's too painful, and my foot almost slipped. Until, he said, I went into the house of God, and then I saw their end. He saw the eternal perspective in the house of God, and oh, what a difference it made. No longer is he envious at the foolish and of the wicked. But he says, wow, in a moment, when they face death, they're going to be utterly filled with terror. And they'll be destroyed in a moment. Oh, God, I've got so much. Whom have I on earth beside thee, and whom in heaven do I desire beside thee, Lord? You hold me by the right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and you're going to take me into glory. And rather than now being envious of the foolish, he felt sorry. And rather than feeling sorry for himself, he rejoiced, I have so much with God and God's help. As we live in that world out there, and as we move in that world, and as we touch that world, and it touches us, and we feel the pressures and all, many times we get very discouraged, and we feel almost defeated, ready to give up. And then we come into the house of God, the sanctuary. God gives us a whole new perspective. I begin to see things in light of eternal things. And I realize that those present things out there, those material things out there, they are temporal, they are passing, they're transient. But these things that we have in the realm of the Spirit, they are eternal. And oh, it changes my whole outlook and my whole attitude towards life. And I'm able then to endure whatever hardship comes my way because I know it's not going to last. I know this is only temporary. And I have a relationship with God that is eternal. And my destiny is to spend eternity in the glories of His kingdom. So, 50 years, hardship, eternity of glory. Whatever I have to endure, I am able to endure because I can see the invisible. And so it's important today that we ask God, Lord, help me to see past this veil and to see into the realm of the Spirit. And rather than bemoan how little I have, rejoice in how much I have, because I have the Lord, and that's all I need. Father, we thank you for the truth of the realm of the Spirit, which is eternal. And Lord, forgive us for being caught up in this material world so many times, feeling discouraged, cast down because we can't seem to find our way out. Lord, may we look to you, to your power, to your presence. And Lord, may we draw from you the strength that we need as we see things, Lord, in the light of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Some of you today who came all upset and worried about tomorrow and next week, eyes have been on things that are going to pass. But boy, when you get, you know, glued on those things, oh man, how miserable you can get. Mentally, spiritually, as you look at this world, it doesn't look good. And it's amazing, though, how people will opt many times for a present experience and yet will sacrifice the eternal consequences for a present moment of joy or excitement, and then they sacrifice, you know, the future for just some moment of satisfaction. Biting a guy's ear off, you know, just. I heard that he had the taste of defeat. But he may lose a $30 million purse for that bite. You know, you do dumb, stupid things and you don't think about the consequences. That's one of the tragedies. You don't look at the eternal consequences of things that we do. So, let's correct our vision, our focus. And with Paul, let's get our eyes on the things that are eternal, and then let's plan our lives according to the eternal values, not just the temporary values, but the eternal values. That's wisdom. May God grant to us that kind of wisdom.